Welcome, my friends, to The Generations. This is a radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, coming to you from my basement out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. Bill Jack in studio with me today from Worldview Academy.
Hey, you got that right. You got that right.
Welcome, Bill. Hey. You know, I do confuse you and Steve from time to time.
One of us, either Steve or I, just got insulted.
One of you has hair.
Well, you know, that's what we call a BFO, Kevin. That's called a blinding flash of the obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes.
I don't shave. I pluck.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? That just means you're a little closer to heaven as well.
Yeah.
And that's the good news.
God only made a few perfect heads. The rest are covered with hair.
My friends, we are getting a little closer to heaven, but we're still here.
Minute by minute.
We're to be faithful as we're here. Jesus said, occupy till I return, and that's our responsibility as those who are his servants. And here we are in the 21st century, remarkable days in the history of the world, and certainly remarkable days in the history of the Republic, as God's hand is severe upon this nation. This is probably the most devastating year in the history of this country in terms of property damage and the things that the acts of God, that is, the natural disasters, are bringing upon this nation. Of course, everything that happens in history is an act of God. But the California fires now has taken down some $85 billion in property improvements. It's the most expensive in California history, maybe the most expensive in American history. In terms of the damage done by the California fires, and they have occurred up around Santa Rosa, these are Northern California fires just north of San Francisco. And again, friends, the most devastating in the history of the state of California in terms of loss of life and property damage. A heartbreaking year in the history of this country with the loss of life, the loss of property, the damage done to thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of families across this country coming by way of natural disasters by the hand of God himself. Irma and Harvey, the two hurricanes that came down into the Caribbean and up into Texas and southeastern America, has produced something like $200 billion of damage. And if you add to that the $85 billion of damage caused by the California fires, this could be a $300 billion year in destruction to America. Is God destroying America? That's the question we're going to be asking today on this edition of the Generations broadcast. Is God destroying America by way of these natural disasters? Of course, that's not the only indication of destruction. Anytime there's the destruction of millions upon millions of human lives through abortion and through the abortifacient contraceptives, and anytime you see social systems imploding, anytime you see the millennial generation as impoverished as they are in terms of their character, the destruction of this nation is full-orbed. It is thoroughgoing. And friends, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Is God destroying America in the year 2017? Be back with more in just a moment. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack in studio with us today. And speaking of the state of California, as God in his providence has brought a severe set of fires upon this state just last week, unusual windstorms picked up across Northern California, increasing the ferocity of the fires. And friends, you say, where do these winds come from? You know, how in the world is this some weird coincidence? Are these random events in a random universe where there is absolutely nothing that controls what is going on in our world except for sheer chance? That's the worldview that is taught by the media. That's the worldview that's taught by Fox News when they will not acknowledge the hand of God that is involved in the winds and the fires picking up in the state of California. When the other worldview says, hey, we're not going to acknowledge God's sovereign hand, then they give way to the materialistic, chance-based universe that they've believed in and that they've been taught since they attended K-12 schools and the universities. Well, the death toll in the California fires is now up to 40, and there are hundreds of are missing still. So we don't believe that there's an absolute accurate number yet for those who have lost their lives in this inferno, in this terrible, terrible fire that's come upon the state of California. 3,500 structures have already been destroyed, some 200,000 acres in the fires as well. This, my friends, is confirmed as the worst wildfire or the worst set of wildfires in California history. According to Cal Fire Department, 12 of California's 15 worst fires in history occurred just since the year 2002. That is 12 out of the 15 worst fires in the state of California have occurred just since the year 2002. Bill, just a couple other facts about California. I think it's important for people to understand what's going on in the state of California as God has brought these severe forms of destruction upon the state of California. California's elections have moved from 55% Republican voters in 1972 to 31% Republican voters last year in the general election. Friends, this is the direction, this is the trend that is going on in this nation. There are some states better than others. We'll discuss that on an upcoming radio program. But you want to state us what's going on in America today. What's happening in California besides the fires? California elections have moved from 55% Republican voters in 1972 to 31% last year.
Now, Kevin, you're not suggesting that God is a Republican, are you?
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. No, I'm not. I'm just pointing out some trends.
I just want to make sure that our listeners understand clearly what we're talking about. There has been a definite shift in California from, you know, what we'd consider to be conservative to liberal, from what we would consider to be those holding to righteous positions on social issues to those holding to unrighteous positions on social issues.
I was going to say, Bill, that God is pro-life. Why do I say God is pro-life? Do I have good biblical backing for that?
Yeah, I think you can probably sum it up because he's the creator.
Well, he said, thou shalt not murder. That's a data point, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Also, he protects human life, even in the case of men fighting, and a baby is delivered untimely because his mother was affected in the fight. That is defined as a criminal act and a sinful act by the Word of God. So, my friends, these are the sorts of things that the Bible presents to us, that God is pro-life. And what percentage of the Democrats that run for office in the state of California are pro-life? Somewhere under 1%. What percent of the Republicans are pro-life? Well, at least a little over 50%.
Yeah,
not all of them, sadly. Well, California elections have moved from 55% Republican voters in 1972 to 31% last year. Also in 2014, California became the first state to transgender the schools, allowing transgender students to use bathrooms, locker rooms, and participate in sports that are congruent to their gender identity that they choose. And then in 2014, California became the first state with a law forbidding conversion therapy for children under 18 with inclinations towards homosexuality. Then 2015, California became the first state to pay for gender reassignment surgeries for prison inmates. And then earlier this year, of course, California became the first state in the union to require gender-neutral single-occupancy bathrooms to accommodate men who wish to act out the part of a woman. And also other big developments this year, California Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill that would levy a $1,000 fine and a year in jail against anybody who knowingly uses the wrong pronoun to address a man who wants to play the part of a woman or vice versa. You know, the sponsor of the bill in the California State Senate, he told the news reporters, everyone is entitled to their religious view, but when you enter the public space, when you are running an institution, you're in the workplace, you're in a civil setting, you have to follow the law. In other words, you're not following God's law. When you get out into the civil system, you are following man's law. As they say, you've got to follow the law. You're not going to bring out your religious views and act according to your religious views when you're involved in the civil sphere, he says. When you get out there in the public space, when you're running an institution, running a business, when you control your own business, own your own business, and work in the workplace, you have no right. You have no right to commit yourself to the laws of God. You will break the laws of God in order to maintain the laws of man. This is what the sponsor of the transgender pronoun bill gave as he was backing the bill in the California Senate.
That's reminiscent of what happened in New Mexico with a photographer who refused to participate in a same-sex wedding. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court of New Mexico, and one of the justices said to the photographer in his ruling, you can believe whatever you want to, but this is the price you pay for citizenship, and upheld a $6,000 fine levied against her.
Yeah, and this is what these states are doing, my friends. The state of California has set the standard for the nation, set the standard for the world in shaking its fist against God, especially when it comes to the most egregious moral violations that humans have ever been able to concoct. And so California sets the direction for transgendering the schools, conversion therapy, gender reassignment surgeries for prison inmates, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And the most tragic fire ever has hit the state of California this year, almost at the same time that Jerry Brown signed the bill that would levy the $1,000 fine for anybody wrongly using the wrong pronoun. Do you remember what we have today, Bill, is the worst floods, the worst fires in the nation's history in terms of its cost of human life, property, etc.? And do you remember a couple of years ago, Colorado had the worst fires and the worst floods and the worst legislature?
And the worst legislature.
We had all three, the worst fires, the worst floods, and the worst legislature. And we simply asked the question, is there a God?
Yes. Does the state of Colorado fear God? Does the state of California fear God?
Yeah, we just simply asked the question. Of course, the bad guys were very incensed by this because their conscience is bothered because deep down in their mind, they are suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. They know there's a God. They know they are accountable to that God. And these are just shots across the bow to remind Californians and Americans, liberal, conservative, right, left, or in the middle, these fires, these floods are simply shots across the bow to give you a heads up that God is in the heavens, and the kings of the earth may set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, but he that is in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Kiss the sun, Jerry Brown. Kiss the sun, Jerry Brown.
Governor Moonbeam.
Yeah. Kiss the sun, Supreme Court justices of the United States. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, you perish from the way, lest his anger be kindled but a little. Friends, without the fear of God, without some reverence for God, without a recognition of God's existence, God's judgment, God's holiness, God's justice, there will be no gospel. There will be no acceptance of God's love. There will be no recognition of God's love. There will be no recognition of God's Savior. There will be no recognition of God's redemption that comes through Christ, who came and died on the cross because of the kinds of sin that are sinned by sinners in America and California and Colorado, all around the world. Well, the most tragic fire in the history of the state of California has hit the state by the ordination of Almighty God. And by the way, even more egregious things going on in California this year, Bill. In California schools, they're teaching students now about LGBT. Now, you know that this passed the legislature, I think, in 2014 as well. So, again, just the last 2 to 3 years, some of the most egregious possible legislation anybody could ever come up with have been signed, have been passed and signed into law by the governor of the state of California. And now California's K-12 students will be learning more about the contribution of the LGBT community in the public school curriculum as early as this fall. The California Board of Education recently voted in favor of a new history social science framework that builds on the fair, accurate, inclusive, respectful education of 2012, which requires a more comprehensive representation of the LGBT community, et cetera, et cetera. Under the new framework, references to the LGBT community will be woven into the existing curriculum. According to Romesberg, an associate professor and chair of the Department of Women's and Gender Studies at Sonoma State University, students will start learning about the LGBT community this year as part of a family diversity as early as second grade. So they're pushing it into the second grade. In fourth grade, Harvey Milk and other LGBT activists will be introduced. And in high school, the students' work will continue to integrate LGBT contributions. This will finally culminate in 11th grade U.S. history, which will now include references to the fight for LGBT history. Changes to the framework evoked widespread public interest in California, eliciting more than 10,000 email comments to the advisory commission since 2014. Although there was opposition to greater LGBT inclusion in the framework from some circles overall, only a tiny fraction of the emailed comments were anti-LGBT. That is, only a very, very tiny percentage of California parents cared one little whit about God. At this point, the California Department of Education has put itself on the leading edge of LGBT content in schools, and it is absolutely history-making, groundbreaking, according to Romesberg, who apparently played a part on the commission. It's light years ahead of where anyone else is at this point, and it will be absolutely a guide star for other states that want to bring their frameworks and curriculums into the 21st century. That is, that California has been at the forefront of the destruction of American values. California has been the first state on just about every single LGBT, homosexual, sodomy-oriented issue of the day, whether it be those issues affecting schools, businesses, or just plain politics. It has been California at the forefront of all of this. And by the way, God has brought a fire to California and is burning California down even as we speak. But my question today is, why are American parents head over heels in love with Harvey Milk, the pedophile from San Francisco? Do you get that?
First openly homosexual man elected to public office.
And a pedophile. Read his biographies. They're accessible, friends.
Yep.
I mean, just read his biographies. Please get his biographies if you have any question. He's a pedophile. He was a pedophile. And he's being glorified by fourth grade students in fourth grade classrooms across the state of California. The pedophile, the great pedophile of the state of California, is being honored in fourth grade classrooms as of this year. By the way, God has brought a fire to the state of California, the worst fire in California's history, and he's burning the state down right now, causing at least $90 billion in damage to this state and, of course, to this country, because California is on the leading edge, as this gentleman spoke of concerning the California Department of Education, on the leading edge of sodomy content in the schools. It's light years ahead of where anyone else is at this point. It will be absolutely a guide star for other states who want to bring a pedophile into the fourth grade classrooms. So again, my question here, Bill, I'm not sure I have an answer to the question. Why are American parents head over heels in love with Harvey Milk to the point that almost nobody protested it? Almost nobody would protest the introduction of pedophiles into the fourth grade classrooms in the state of California. I just don't get it. You'd think they'd be, you know, somewhat concerned about it, but rather they seem to be excited about the incorporation of this new homosexual curriculum in the state of California.
What are we going to do?
Well, here's my suggestion. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. That's the thing that keeps coming back to me, Bill. I know we come back to this again and again, but I'm here to say that the homeschooling population in America, according to recent numbers, have flatlined. Do you know that?
No, I did not.
According to the official Department of Education numbers, they've flatlined at somewhere around 2 million. Brian Ray says they're slightly higher than that. Christian schools have lost about a million students in the last 15 years, especially with the incorporation of Harvey Milk curriculum and pro-homosexual and doctrinaire in public schools across this nation. So we find the slow but steady dissolution of the Christian schools and the rise of Harvey Milk in the state of California. Now, I think this is the legacy of American education and American literature. I think the roots go back further than we think. This idea that somehow it's just Harvey Milk that turned the direction over the last 15 years is not correct. The most popular American writers, the kingpins, the high point of American literature was Walt Whitman, Mark Twain, and Jack London. And I'm writing a Christian worldview look at American history, which should come out in, we've got the first three volumes out. The final volume should come out early next year. But it turns out the UK Guardian put Walt Whitman at the top of the list for American poetry. Ranker placed him at the top position as well. In 2006, the Atlantic magazine called Whitman the most influential American poet beyond question. And of course, he was the most depraved poet in all of American history, at least in the 19th century, and is regarded as the most influential. And of course, we find him in almost every single Christian school and homeschool curriculum as well. Walt Whitman, big time poet in America, lived in the 19th century, first published his collection of poetry, Leaves of Grass, in 1855. On publication, Bill, get this, he was fired from his position working for the Department of the Interior. He was working for the Department of Interior at the time. He was fired.
For what reason?
His poems were downright obscene. It was like publishing pornography in the year 1855. Difficult to do, but of course, he is the greatest poet, the most influential poet in all of American history. Another poet, John Greenleaf Whittier, said he threw the book into the fire. However, Whitman's writings continued to degrade. His 1855 edition was obscene, obscene, and obscene, but in 1860, Walt Whitman added a set of explicitly homosexual poems, referred to as the Calamus poems. Now, I don't want to read these poems on the air because I don't do homosexual porn on this radio program. I'm telling my friends, they are explicitly obscene in their homosexual depictions. But this is the grand poet you will find in the curriculum of people who follow American literature. All right. Well, this is the first time since William Shakespeare that the Western literature opened the gates slightly to this deadly sin. Shakespeare did so in some of his sonnets as well. By the way, I treat these things in Apostate, my book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Nobody could have imagined the terrible destruction that these wicked devices, these poems, would bring upon Western society over 150 years. These are the roots, though. Come on, these are the roots. It didn't start in California in the year 2017. Give me a break. No. It started with Walt Whitman back in the 1860s. On March 1st, 1882, Boston District Attorney Oliver Stevens wrote to Whitman's publisher in behalf of the New England Society for the Suppression of Vice. You know, this is like your, you know, Focus on the Family or whatever in 1860 or 1880. And he said, "We are of the opinion that this book by Walt Whitman is such a book as brings it within the provisions of the public statutes respecting obscene literature and suggests the propriety of withdrawing the same from circulation and suppressing the editions thereof." One of the contemporary literary critics, Griswold, warned that Whitman was a filthy freelover and guilty of that horrible sin not to even be mentioned among Christians. Now, Bill, you know that the sin of homosexuality was not even mentioned and hardly mentioned by Martin Luther and others, because for a period of 1500 years, it was such a despicable thing. One could hardly even countenance an imagination for even a split second of something so awful, so destructive to all of human society as the sin of homosexuality. But it was, of course, it was Walt Whitman that opened the door to this.
And now to second graders.
And now to second graders and fourth graders. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God. There is deliverance. Praise God. There is a deliverance from the satanic hold that Satan has upon most of our institutions and, of course, each and every one of us until the Son comes and sets us free. Well, I could give you so many other examples of how the roots of the destruction of the modern schools came from Walt Whitman and Mark Twain. And Mark Twain spoke of the Bible as the most damnatory biography that exists in print anywhere, a wealth of obscenity and upwards of 1,000 lies. He referred to God as repulsive and malignant, and towards the end of his life, he recorded a message from Satan himself and wrote down whatever Satan told him in a book called Letters from the Earth. He refused to publish the compendium of these blasphemies in his own lifetime, but it became public in 1962. Mark Twain also said the Bible makes Nero an angel of light and leading by contrast.
Whoa.
Isn't that something? These are the words of Mark Twain. Of course, almost every single homeschool curriculum is going to be interested in Mark Twain. But friends, there's not much of an antithesis in the literary department. There's not a battle against these horrific ideas, these horrific authors that destroyed education in America in the 19th century and the 20th centuries. Well, Mark Twain wrote that the Bible makes Nero an angel of light and leading by contrast. His words, by the way, were prophetic. He glorified Nero. This is the nightmarish Roman Caesar that introduced homosexual weddings to the world, persecuted the Christians. Remember, he lit them up in his garden, put oil all over them, and lit them up like candles in his garden. That's what Nero is all about, lighting up Christians, persecuting Christians, introducing homosexual weddings to the world, and burning down Rome. That's pretty much the agenda that's working in the United States right now. Nero's agenda is almost accomplished. Ask yourself, has Nero accomplished his homosexual weddings in the United States of America? Check. Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2015, Obergefell, the Supreme Court decision that approved of homosexual weddings. Check. It's done. The persecution of Christians. Well, I guess we'll see whether the Denver Baker case is going to pass the muster with Justice Kennedy. I'll give it about a 4% chance. What about you, Bill?
I'm going to go better than that.
Okay. You think Kennedy's going to do the right thing on this one?
I'm thinking that he may be pressured into seeing.
We'll see. We'll see. Nero's got his homosexual weddings. He's got the persecution of Christians. And the question is he burning down California? I guess that's the question right now. Well, of course, ultimately, it's God who is in control of what happens. But what we have to do is we have to call a nation to repentance, because Jesus turns to the nation and says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that, my friends, is the universal appeal that the Son of God, Jesus himself, brings to every nation that turns its face from God. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Well, as we wrap up the program, friends, the schools are perverted when they brought in Walt Whitman, Mark Twain, and others into the homeschool curriculum, the public school curriculum. Why would we want to give our kids the sick stuff of Mark Twain, Walt Whitman, Jack London, and others? Why would we give our kids this stuff? Why would Christian schools, public schools, want to bring this to the kids? Why would parents want to provide this kind of thinking to their children? Let's be sure that we give our children the good stuff. Let's be sure we offer them the curriculum, the training, the teaching that can come from those who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. Let's look for Christian curriculum. That's why we provide Christian curriculum at our website, generations.org. We have a Christian curriculum project we're working on, in which we're trying to build a distinctively Christian curriculum on a biblical perspective, especially in the area of literature and history. These areas of crying out for a reformation of decent discipleship materials for our Christian children, in order that we might, by the grace of God, keep the faith in our generation. The Western world is burning down, metaphorically. It's burning out sexually. It's burning out socially. The fires of the Lord are coming down. But let's protect the camp of the saints. Can we come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord? Can we protect our children from the burnout by the grace of God? I think we can. Let's be sure that we're we're on our knees crying out and praying for God's protection, God's provision, God's salvation for our families. Let's build that ark, which ultimately is Christ. And let's take our family off, as Noah did. And by the grace of God, Noah saved his family. And that's what we want to do as well. That's one reason why we have the Noah Conference this year, or this month, this week, in the state of Washington. So let's follow the word of God. Let's raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And let's be sure that we're teaching our children God's word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up and as we lie down. And friends, keep your eye on the ball. This is what we need to be doing as those that follow Jesus. Well, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Friday, October 20th, AD 2017. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Chinese President Xi Jinping opened the 19th National Congress of the Communist Party of China on Wednesday, promising a new era of building a, quote, modern socialist country that would take center stage in the world, unquote. Jinping has been consolidating power since taking leadership at the 2012 National Congress and is expected to continue with another five-year term. Psalm 33:10-11 reminds us, "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." Meanwhile, Chinese President Jinping has described Christianity as a, quote, foreign infiltration, unquote. His government has become a primary persecutor of the Christian church there. Feeling threatened by the, quote, uncontrolled growth of Christianity, unquote, the Communist Party of China has initiated a sweeping crackdown on Christians, reports Open Doors UK. They have demolished thousands of churches and crosses, installed video surveillance in churches, regulated pastors and Christian education, and imprisoned and tortured Christians. Just recently, a Christian evangelist, her daughter, and grandson were arrested for violating new government restrictions on sharing one's faith. Despite this, the Christian population of China has grown to an estimated 70 million as of 2010 and is on track to become the largest population of Christians in any nation by 2030. ISIS has suffered major defeats from U.S.-backed coalition forces in the Middle East. Cities across Iraq and Syria have been retaken from the Islamic militants. Now, hundreds of thousands of displaced residents have next to nothing left in their homelands. Many Christians are among those returning to their homes in Iraq and Syria. Edward Clancy, with Aid to the Church in Need, told the Christian Post, quote, "If we do not help these ancient Christian communities, ISIS might very well have lost the battles, but won the war," unquote. He said Iraq may have lost 80% of their Christian people, and Syria may have lost 50%. Please pray for the Christians as they return home and rebuild their communities. On Monday, President Trump announced the administration would be making welfare reforms a priority, citing concerns over people taking advantage of the system. Here's what he said on CNN.
But some people are really taking advantage of our system from that standpoint, and we are going to be looking very, very strongly, therefore, at welfare reform. It's going to be a very big topic under this administration.
The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits reached a new low in over 40 years, reports Reuters. Job growth rebounded after a hurricane-related decline in September. Reports also indicate factory employment in the Mid-Atlantic region has reached new highs this month. Abortionist Leroy Carhart planned to begin performing late-term abortions this past Tuesday at his Bethesda, Maryland facility. However, Operation Rescue reports all of these appointments have been canceled after they exposed that he is indeed unlicensed. Pro-lifers and members of churches held a press conference and prayed outside the abortion mill, exposing how the facility would be operating illegally. Operation Rescue President Troy Newman said, quote, "Every day that abortions do not take place in Bethesda is a victory. We pray Carhart's new late-term abortion business never opens," unquote. According to a Lifeway research study released on Tuesday, most Protestant church-going parents say their children grew up to be Christians, but that only half of them are practicing the Christian faith. The study found the most important factor predicting spiritual health among these young adults was whether they read the Bible regularly while growing up. Other factors predicting spiritual health included growing up with regular prayer, service in the church, and listening to Christian music. Jana Magruder, director of Lifeway Kids, stated, quote, "The key takeaway from the study is a simple yet profound finding that God's word truly is what changes lives," unquote. Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15 that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. A Hungarian who printed thousands of passports enabling Jews to flee the country during World War II was honored with a memorial plaque on Wednesday in Budapest. Emil Wiesmeyer's printing company produced 4,000 of the passports in cooperation with Swedish Special Envoy Raoul Wallenberg to rescue Jews from Nazi death camps. Wiesmeyer went on to print 20,000 more passports to get Jews out of Hungary. Many others helped Wallenberg with the effort in Hungary, including Italian businessman Giorgio Perlasca, who posed as a Spanish diplomat to save over 5,000 Jews. And that's the World View in 5 minutes on this Friday, October 20th in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.